Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of In the Money. My name is Andrew McGowan, part of our trading strategy desk here at Fidelity. And with me today, as always, is Tony Zhang, Chief Strategy Officer and co-founder at Options Play. Tony, it's been a very interesting, choppy, volatile week since last Thursday. Glad to have you back on. How have you been?
Yeah, thank you so much. I've been doing quite well. And as you say, it's been a volatile few weeks, but hopefully, we're looking at some perhaps more optimistic times ahead.
Absolutely. It's great to have you back on again to share your insights with our clients. It's Thursday, April 24th. As you mentioned, there's a lot happening in the market as of late. We've seen the S&P 500 carve out a fairly volatile range, like you said, between 5,100 and 5,500. I know many traders and investors are doing their best to manage risk through this dynamic market environment. So, with that being said, what are your current macroeconomic views and what developments are you currently watching?
Yeah, thank you so much. Like I said, we are entering this particular week, which with what seems like a much more positive tone here to the overall markets, even though the situation remains fairly fluid with regards to two of the major economic activities that I think are influencing the market, predominantly around number one, the tariffs and the trade war. So we've had the 90-day pause to the tariffs for a couple of weeks now, and it seems like we are finally at a place where markets are finding a little bit of stability on the back of that. And earlier this week, we even had further rhetoric that seems to de-escalate things a little bit with China. So hopefully, the trade war is less likely to get worse or more severe from where we are right now. And that's given the markets a little bit of confidence to try to find some stability from the volatility that we've experienced over the last 3 weeks or so. So I think there's enough on that alone to be cautiously optimistic here for equities going forward. My biggest concern at the moment outside of the tariffs have been around the safety of the treasury market. We've been talking about that for the last few weeks because there's the last few weeks have put into question, the risk-free nature of the US treasuries. And if that was to be a concern, that has some major ramifications for the global financial markets. So the news this week that Trump announced that he was not going to seek the resignation or to fire Chairman Powell eased a little bit of some of those concerns for just the overall safety of the treasury market. And I think that's largely going to be a positive factor here for equities. And then if you look at just kind of the indicators that we typically look at to try to identify a market bottom, we've seen some additional positive numbers to take a look at. We've seen the VIX finally close below 30% here. Alongside with that VIX closing below 30%, we've seen the VVIX, which is the volatility of VIX, continue to fall as well. And that is usually a very good sign that there's a bit more stability ahead. And then lastly, if you just look at price action on the S&P 500, the 5,100 level is a major support level that we've talked about here for the past few weeks that we really need to see bulls hold that level in order to even to stop this from turning into a bear market. And as of Monday's close, we just tested that 5,100 level and bounced higher here. And over the last couple of trading sessions, we've continued to bounce after what has been continued signs of exhaustion here from sellers. And now we've rallied back towards that $5,500 major resistance level here. And this is really the main test that bulls need to get across that level in order to start turning this back into perhaps a more bullish tone here for the broader markets. Between 5,100 and 5,500, there's still a little bit of risk here to the downside, especially if we rally up to that 5,500 level and the market fails to get back above that level. There definitely still seems to be some risk here with that. But like I said, going into earnings season with the bar set fairly low, there is a lot to be optimistic about, especially if we can see a further de-escalation from the trade wars, if the treasury market starts to continue to function properly here, and we start to see, potentially rate cuts here in the near future. These are all things that could potentially drive equities higher here. So I think there's an opportunity for investors who are seeking quality stocks to look at the fact that we've taken this, especially tech stocks or growth names that have been beaten up by quite a bit, there could be some strong risk or reward opportunities to look for some upside here for equities.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought up the earnings season approaching us. We'll spend some time on that here today as well. But it seems that we've been looking at very similar things lately. As you mentioned, going into the last few weeks, headline risk seemed to be the main component of concern, and that had potentially kept those volatilities measures elevated going into the last few days. And we've seen that subside to some degree. As we know, the market does not like uncertainty, increasingly so, with that combination of equities, bonds, and the dollar all seeing recent declines. So the more that can be subdued, that could help traders feel more confident in any risk they may be putting on. As you mentioned, that 5,500 level remains important for the S&P due to that confluence of prior support being now tested as resistance. On that note, if you would like to get daily live updates and market briefings on these important themes, please join us at the Trading Strategy Desk's live coaching sessions at fidelity.com/coaching. So that being said, I know you have a trade idea to discuss with us today. What is the first trade idea that we'll be looking at?
Yeah, I want to take a look at an idea that effectively takes advantage of a potential bounce here in equities, especially in a sector in the technology sector that has been beaten down so much as a result of the sell-offs we've seen over the last couple of months, really. And technology, we've seen tech up, over 3% here. So, this is really where we're seeing some of the bounce opportunities, especially as the likelihood of a further escalation from a trade war perspective is lowered, and it creates some opportunities for high quality stocks like Meta that offer compelling valuations, strong ambitions within both augmented reality and AI. And right now, options are quite expensive, and it provides an attractive opportunity to potentially sell options on high quality tech stocks like Meta. So I want to take a look at Meta for today's trade idea. And let's start with just the chart here. The stock has declined pretty substantially here over the last couple of months, down to a major support level around 480. And that represents about a 35% decline from peak to trough. So we've taken a pretty substantial haircut on the valuations for Meta. And since it had that 35% decline, we've seen that double bottom form at 480. That double bottom support provides a potential opportunity for Meta to bounce. And our upside target here is around $680, which represents a really strong risk reward from where we're currently trading around 525 or so to that 680 upside target with the downside risk of around 480 or so. So the timing, I think, right now is quite strong here for a potential reversal from the bearish trends that we've seen here in the stock back into potentially a bullish trend right now. And really, outside of looking at the charts here, this is really a story that is rooted in strong valuations. We're seeing this across the board in a lot of tech names, but Meta especially looks quite attractive because we're trading at around 20, a little over 20 times forward earnings, which is just a slight premium relative to the industry. But if you look at the fact that growth expectations for Meta are well firmly in line with the industry, and net margins of 38% far exceed the industry median around 16%. I think that Meta trading at only 20 times forward earnings is downright inexpensive given the outlook that Meta has in this market environment, because they are a clear leader in the AI space. The Llama 4 model is the foundation for nearly all open source LLM models that we see out there. You have very strong augmented reality and virtual reality ambitions with their new Quest S3 model. This is really benefiting from AI from both a hardware and software perspective. And if you compare that to a name that is claiming to be a leader in this particular space, such as Apple, it really is clear that Meta is actually far more far far further ahead within AR than Apple is. And I think this is really where I think Meta is a compelling investment opportunity compared to Apple. And then lastly, just from a valuation and timing perspective, I think right now, given the market and macro conditions that we're heading in, presents a really interesting opportunity for for Meta and to rally from here. So given the market conditions that we see here right now with the implied volatility on Meta options being quite high, I think this is an opportunity to be a seller of options. So the trade structure that I like to use here is to go out to the May 30th weekly expiration, and I'm looking at selling the 525 480 put spread. What that entails is I'm selling the 525 put on Meta, but because selling just that 525 put has substantial risk, I'm buying the 480 put against that. And earlier today, you can collect about $15.70 in credit for the put vertical. And that gives you a total risk of just over $2,900 per contract worth of risk in exchange for a potential reward of $1,570 in potential reward, giving you a really strong high probability of profit type structure with a risk to reward ratio that's about 2 to 1 on a trade structure like this. And it gives you an opportunity to profit as long as Meta stays above roughly $510 or so. So it gives you quite a bit of room here to the downside so that even if Meta just stays where it is or rallies from here, you'll be profitable. But it even gives you a little bit of downside protection if Meta does decline a little bit, you can still be profitable. And I think in this type of market environment where there's still a little bit of question as to how stable the markets are, having a trade structure like this gives you a little bit of flexibility and a little bit of room to be, to be right on the direction, but also potentially, if there's a little bit more volatility in the next couple of weeks, you can have a downside buffer with a trade structure like this, as opposed to, outright buying a call option or a vertical spread where you need the stock to rally substantially before this is profitable.
Absolutely. I appreciate that excellent breakdown, Tony. Again, I want to point out that this is another example in which traders can combine a variety of perspectives from a top-down approach, both fundamentally as well as technically. On top of that, though, it's a great example of how traders can use options to efficiently allocate to risk. When traders are considering different strategies, the question of one leg or two is generally one of the more popular questions, especially with credit-driven strategies. Suppose instead, if we were doing a cash secure put, like you mentioned, the risk of being wrong has significant asymmetry versus the reward of being right. So, like you mentioned, one of the benefits of this approach is the predefining of the risk and reward ratios that help traders plan for the different variety of outcomes. Naturally, the benefit of certainty does come with a cost, but sometimes that cost can allow traders to feel better about those potential outcomes. So, on that note, Tony, I know you mentioned this to some extent, but do you mind actually expanding for a brief moment on what you might look for when you're deciding between one leg or two in these situations?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, the biggest concern I think for investors with a stock like Meta is really the stock price. I think that's a big factor in determining whether I would use perhaps a one leg or two leg trade in this particular example. Because if I were to just sell the May 30th 525 puts, you would have a very similar trade structure to what I'm suggesting, but it comes with two things that you have, which I think are hard for most investors to deal with, which is the fact that number one, if you were to just to sell the 525 put without buying the 480 put, your total risk on the trade is nearly $50,000 per contract. Not only do you have a substantial amount of risk, but it also requires nearly $50,000 worth of margin in order to sell, or $50,000 worth of cash to sell a single contract. So, with a high price stock like that, that's not feasible for a lot of traders. By buying that 480 put, what you're doing is you're reducing the total risk down from $50,000 to just $2,900, which is about a 94% reduction in total risk. But you're also reducing the capital allocation that you need in order to enter this trade from $50,000 in cash down to $2,900 in margin. So for those reasons, I think that 94% reduction in margin requirement and risk is a substantial benefit for traders. And what you're doing is you're giving up a little bit of upside here. So you're collecting $1,500 worth of potential reward as opposed to Around $3,000 worth of potential rewards. So you're giving about half of the upside in exchange for a 94% reduction in risk. And I think that is a trade-off that is worth making for most traders.
Excellent. So I appreciate that, Tony. That being said, now that we have covered the new trade of the week, we would actually like to pivot into a different discussion. Since we are getting into the heart of earnings seasons, like you mentioned earlier, we'd be remiss not to take a look at some of the names with upcoming earnings announcements. Earnings season can be a very exciting time for traders, especially with all of the recent market action that we have had, but it is also a heightened period of risk. So that being said, are there any names that you had on your radar for earnings season here, Tony?
Yeah, I have two particular names that are upcoming this afternoon. You have Alphabet and Intel. I really like Alphabet for many of the same reasons I like Meta. One, because we're in a macro environment that seems to be supportive of tech names, but also more so from a valuation perspective. And arguably, Alphabet was not a particularly expensive stock even before the sell-off. And now that we've taken about a 25% haircut on valuations for Alphabet, trading at 17 times forward earnings going into earnings this afternoon is incredibly cheap, especially if you consider the fact that net margins on Alphabet are 28%, again, versus the 16% that the industry averages. So you have above average profitability with below average valuations, and you have a chart setup that's very similar to what we've seen here in Meta. You've got that pullback here to a major support level around 145 or so. It's starting to bounce here. And I think that suggests that you have substantial potential upside if Alphabet reports fairly strong earnings and the valuations trade back towards, the industry median or the industry average, and potentially even a little bit higher, considering they are far more profitable than the industry itself.
Absolutely. And that being said, too, as we mentioned, earnings season sometimes brings in a period of volatility and uncertainty to the marketplace. An important thing to remember for this is that it's not just about what the companies report, it's also about factoring in what the market expects the company to report. So, that being said, are there any other, say, option-centric metrics that you tend to look for when you're evaluating a company and its market expectations for earnings?
Absolutely. I think from an options perspective, probably the metric that most traders use is implied or expected move. And you can calculate that using the at-the-money straddle for the expiration of the earnings. So for example, if you're looking at Alphabet's at-the-money straddle that expires this Friday, it'll give you a sense for what the market is expecting the potential move on that particular stock is. And that'll give you a good sense for whether markets are expecting the stock to potentially have an outsized potential move versus historical averages. That's a good a way to kind of gauge what the market is telling, what the market is expecting. In this particular case, I think Alphabet is expecting a higher than average expected move here going into earnings this afternoon, which is also why we are seeing this as a potential opportunity. The other trade that I think is worth highlighting is Intel. And we know Intel has struggled for many years with regards to their foundry business and just the lack of competitiveness that Intel has had. And the fact that we're going into earnings this afternoon trading at 40 times forward earnings, while the industry average or median is around 20 times forward earnings. And really is a concern, especially when Intel is currently not profitable. You have net margins of just below zero versus the industry medians around 13%. And just the overall industry, semiconductor industry, is underperforming the S&P 500. That's a big concern when you have a stock and an industry that's underperforming the S&P 500. So when you're trading just a few points off of the 52-week lows, there suggests that there's some further downside risk going into earnings this afternoon. You have a new CEO, you have a turnaround plan, but the question is whether or not they can execute on that this particular earnings season. And I think there's some risk there. There's talks and there's rumors that Intel's trying to lay off another, a couple of 10,000 employees from Intel. However, the question is really whether or not they can reverse kind of the unprofitability that we've continued to see here in Intel. And I think at the moment, the guidance that we provide or the guidance that we're likely going to see here from Intel may not be as strong. And I think that could be another reason that we could see further downside, even though there's a lot of optimism right now from investors that we start to see a turnaround here in the next few quarters.
Absolutely. And something you mentioned there, relative underperformance is such an important thing from a technical perspective for traders to be on the lookout for. But that being said, excellent pieces about earnings season and exciting. And we'll see how the earnings season does shape up. But now that we have covered those new trade ideas and earnings considerations, it's time we review a trade idea from a prior episode. I know these lookbacks are generally very helpful for newer options traders because it allows them to see how those risk and reward to opportunities have played out in the real world. So, with that being said, what trade are we looking back on this week?
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, I laid out a bearish thesis on just the general market, and we sold a call vertical on SPY, the ETF that tracks the S&P 500. We sold the May 23rd weekly expiration, the 535-565 call vertical, for about $14.20 at the time. The market, the SPY, is trading at around 527 at the time. We've rallied about 2.5% since then. We're around 540 now. Yet we can still close out this bearish trade for about $13.80. And that's due to a couple of things. Number one, a time decay that's worked in our favor and volatility continuing to decline. So even though the market has moved in the opposite direction that we were expecting it to, this is a trade that's actually still just barely profitable. And I'm closing it out not because of that. I'm closing it out because our views on the overall market has shifted. 2 weeks ago, we were still quite bearish here on the markets. Right now, like I said, we're entering this week in a much more positive, much more optimistic tone. That's why I want to remove my bearish trade here. But this is really this is a good example of when you're selling premium, even if the market goes against you, you can still potentially be profitable on a trade structure like this. This is the same trade structure we're using in our MetaTrade, which gives you a little bit of flexibility, gives you a little bit of forgiveness if you do get the directional view wrong. And I think now is an opportunity for us to close out this trade at a small gain and move on and hopefully onto more optimistic times for the equity markets.
Absolutely. That look back really demonstrates the power of active management when it comes to options and why it's always important to have a clear outlook on price, time, and volatility. As you've mentioned, it's important to be dynamic as a trader. It's one of the most important skills that we can have in the trading world. And coupled that with the ability to allow ourselves to change our minds when presented with new evidence that changes our outlook on those things. For this time in particular, it seems that we're also able to do so while being able to book a modest gain on the trade. So even better. So that being said, that does bring us to a close for today's event. I want to thank all of our viewers for tuning in today. Don't forget to tune into the Trading Strategy Desk follow-up session hosted by myself tomorrow, Friday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can sign up for that class by going to fidelity.com/in-the-money-follow-up. We also offer a Fidelity Active Investor newsletter where we strive to provide meaningful and timely trading insights right to your inbox by going to fidelity.com/activeinvestorweekly. We're looking forward to seeing you all next week. Until then, take care, everyone.
Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or, if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options such as spreads, straddles, and collars as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you are most comfortable with. As with all your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play and are not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use.
Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.
Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.